read from the Holy Scriptures this morning, from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Our text this morning is found in verse 18 of this chapter. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We hear the word of God in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love, for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Thus far, we read from God's infallibly inspired word. As I said, our text this Thanksgiving morning is found in verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, happy this morning? Perhaps we've been looking forward to this holiday once again. For many, it may mean a day or two off from our regular work at school or in the office or shop. Perhaps we anticipate a large Thanksgiving dinner with family, friends. May be the case that you would rather, maybe not rather, but would eagerly work today, the rest of the week, if you could, to earn a little extra money. Perhaps things have been tight financially. Perhaps our dinner won't be as large as we would have liked. But let us understand, if these factors are the reason for our happiness or lack of happiness this morning, there's something wrong. Our joy, our happiness, our gratitude may not be determined by our outward circumstances in life, by the events that befall us. Whether wealth or poverty, health or sickness, whether it's a sunny or a cloudy day, Scripture tells us God's people are a happy people, a blessed people, a people who rejoice with exceeding great joy. No wonder, for we hope for the eternal joy of heavenly blessedness. We know, even as the apostle has reminded us in the passage we read, Christ comes again. He shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. He will perfectly deliver us from every pain and infirmity, from every care and sorrow, from all fear and death. But even now, today, in this life, we must be a happy people, yea, a thankful people, regardless of the circumstances of our life. Why? Because happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And so all of Scripture exhorts us to rejoice, to serve the Lord with gladness, to bless the Lord at all times. And as we have it in our text this morning, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice this text occurs in a series of admonitions which make up the conclusion to the apostle's first letter to the Thessalonian congregation. Paul comforts the church concerning the return of Christ. His coming for them will not be as a thief in the night. For they are children of the light, children of the day. He calls them and us to be sober and watch for that return. And that we may be constantly watching, we are to remember the office bearers and give heed to them, those who labor over us, watch over us, and admonish us. That we may be ready to meet the Lord, we must not render evil for evil, but always follow the good among ourselves and among others. Then follows this series of very short, pointed admonitions in which our text is found. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. They're very closely related. Giving thanks in everything involves rejoicing evermore in God and is expressed in unceasing prayer. And so this annual Thanksgiving Day, let us bow before the exhortation of God's Word that we may be truly thankful, not just today, of course, but always and even in everything. We consider our text under the theme, giving thanks in everything. We notice, first of all, the meaning, secondly, the possibility, and finally, the blessedness. The meaning, the possibility, and the blessedness. Our text tells us we must give thanks in everything. Literally, we are exhorted to be or feel grateful. And the idea is that we continue, we keep on being grateful, always giving thanks. Again, we must understand this in light of the context here. Verse 16 tells us to rejoice evermore. Verse 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. Giving thanks is to be joyful and is to be expressed in unceasing prayer. But it's important that we understand that the scope of our thanksgiving is truly universal. We are told we must give thanks in everything. That obviously does not mean that we give thanks for some things and not for other things. We're inclined to have that tendency. We divide things up. Matters with regard to our possessions, our health, our circumstances, into two groups. That which we term good and that which we call bad. Good things, like health, prosperity, family, success. The bad things are sickness and grief and disappointments, hardships, so that we would give thanks for some things and some circumstances, but not for others. The Lord says, oh no, in everything give thanks. And the idea is not even that, yes, we give thanks for the good things and we simply bear up under the disappointing things, though even that may be difficult, to patiently bear adversity or affliction or the sorrows of this present time. That's not what Scripture says. It says simply, in everything. Of course, Scripture does exhort us to be patient in affliction, to bear patiently the reproach of Christ. The point is that our patient endurance of trials and troubles and tribulations must be with thanksgiving. The Christian is no stoic who simply hardens himself or herself to the rough things of life, accepting with silence whatever comes his way. We are to give thanks in everything. Nor does this imply a rather superficial outlook that so many have. The idea that, well, every cloud is going to have a silver lining, or that we have to take the bitter with the sweet, so we shouldn't get too shook up when things don't go our way. After all, better days are coming. That's not the idea here. There are some of us that have serious afflictions. Others have various trials and troubles of one sort or another. Those whose Thanksgiving table will have an empty place this year. The Word of God is for all of us. We must give thanks in everything. Giving thanks in everything means literally in the sphere of everything, in every circumstance, in every experience, every life situation. We must clearly understand that we may not limit, qualify this Word of God. We must take it exactly as it stands. In everything means without exception or limit. It implies that as the church of Jesus Christ, as congregation of Christ, at this place, we must give thanks in everything. The many blessings. Our Lord and Savior bestows upon us. The many blessings of fellowship and communion with God that we experience every Lord's Day again as we assemble to worship Him at this place. How thankful we must be that we may hear the voice of the Good Shepherd Sunday after Sunday through the preaching of the gospel. What a blessing. God comes to us in the Savior to comfort, to build us up, to encourage, to correct us. Give thanks for the privilege we have to bring up our children and to educate them according to and on the basis of the Word of God. Let's give thanks for the joys of the communion of saints, the fellowship we can enjoy in various ways. Also in Bible study, as we gather around God's Word, in everything means for the wonderful calling that God has given to proclaim the gospel, not only each Sunday here, but far and wide, by means of evangelism, the internet, radio, the printed page, missionaries. Reason for thanks. Thanks that in a small way we might be used of God for the building and gathering of His church, the coming of His kingdom. Giving thanks in everything means thanks for the office bearers who care for us in the name of Christ. Giving thanks in everything means for the peace and freedom to gather unmolested for worship, for fellowship, a privilege that we know many of our spiritual brothers and sisters around the world lack today. That isn't all. In everything means also that we should, that if God should send hardships, tribulation, suffering, oppression, should the doors of this facility remain locked by authorities, our peace and freedom be taken away so that we must worship in hiding or no longer have the privileges to provide Christian education, even in those circumstances, we must be a thankful people. We know these things have happened in days gone by. We know these things transpire today in many places around the world. We know, according to the Scriptures, there shall be a great tribulation in the last day, just prior to our Lord's return. Also, in that event, join hearts and hands with the saints of God and give thanks. We joyfully thank the God, thank the Lord that we may suffer with Christ in order to be glorified with Him. That same universal thanksgiving must characterize our individual lives. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks for our earthly life itself, all its gifts, our powers, abilities, and talents, the measure of health and strength, our employment, the abundance of material things God has provided, food, clothing, homes, our peace, plenty, families, our overflowing cup of prosperity. In everything, give thanks for sunshine and rain, crops, bountiful harvests. For all these and more, let us give thanks. For whether we eat or drink, we are called to do all to the glory of God with thanksgiving. How easy it is for us to take so many of these things for granted. But again, thanksgiving doesn't end there. For that isn't everything. We know well that there's another side to this life. In fact, earthly life considered all by itself is not prosperity and joy and peace and plenty, but this life is a weary night of sin and suffering and death. It's nothing but a continual death, we confess in our baptism form. It's a reality from day to day. Death all around us. The creation itself bears the curse of sin. The creature is made subject to vanity. Death pursues us relentlessly, casts its dark shadow even over our brightest, most joyful moments. How true that is to our experience. Yes, there are times of good health, but also much sickness and affliction and suffering, pain, even agony. These are daily experiences of many of the people of God, of some of us. There's abundance, but there can also be times of financial hardship, times of scarcity, of poverty, peace, but also war. Even as we noted in Bible study, wars, rumors of wars. So many places around the globe, violence, terrorism, civil strife. There are fruitful years, also barren years. Rain and sunshine, but also devastating storms and hail and fire, earthquake. Joys and happiness, but also sorrow. Again, it's simply the daily reality of life in the midst of this world, but the gospel assures us that this does not preclude thanksgiving. It doesn't mean that perhaps only some of us and on certain days can give thanks while others cannot. In everything, give thanks. That's the word of God. In these circumstances, too, acknowledge the giver of every good and perfect gift. Perhaps we're inclined to hang our heads and say it's impossible. We must give thanks for sickness, thanks in the midst of pain, in the midst of overwhelming sorrow? Impossible. Truly, it is impossible for unbelief. No matter what the unbeliever's life circumstances, whether he is given plenty or want, health or sickness, regardless, he holds it in unrighteousness. He refuses to acknowledge the Creator. He is unholy and unthankful. Thanksgiving Day for many is a vain pretense. The happiness of many is dependent on things measured by the size of the Thanksgiving dinner. It's a very hollow, profane thing. For as the rich fool in the parable, his life consists of the abundance of his possessions. Even that, he loses, he leaves this life exactly as he entered, without a thing, naked. But the child of God, how about you? How about me? Even for us, it seems utterly contradictory, impossible to give thanks in everything. that we do that means that we regard everything, every circumstance, as well as everything we receive from the Lord as a good gift. It means we consider nothing to be bad, misfortune. All things are good things. You must understand what that means. When God, for example, lays me upon a bed of suffering and pain, that means I still have much for which to be thankful. My attitude must not be that, yeah, it could be worse. I still have this. I still have my family. I still have my investments. Oh, no. Being thankful in everything means, I thank thee, Lord, even for this bed of affliction, even for this way of suffering. For thou hast given me to declare with the psalmist that affliction hath been for my profit, that thou dost work this too for my good. And the Lord takes a dear one, dear relative, dear friend, then too we are to say, thanks, Lord. Oh, that doesn't mean we do not grieve. Weeping is not sinful. We sorrow, though it is not as those who have no hope. Even in our grief, though, we can give thanks to the Lord for his sustaining mercies, for the comfort he affords us. The psalmist assures us that God collects our tears in his bottle. The scriptures promise that one day every tear shall be wiped away from our eyes. That and nothing less is being thankful in everything. Would we argue still? That's impossible? Oh no. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Christ alone is the answer to all our impossibilities. This is the will of God in Christ for you. God wills you to be in Christ. Even according to his gracious decree of election, God graciously conforms you to the image of Christ more and more. In time, God sent his dear Son into this world of sin and shame. According to the gracious will of God, Christ laid down his life, suffered and died for us, took upon himself our sin and guilt and bore it all away. Even the effects of sin, the sorrow, the fear, the anxiety. And Christ arose, the mighty conqueror, the Lord of lords. The exalted Christ poured out his Spirit into our hearts. By the Spirit of Christ we have new life, a life that shall never die. We've been called out of darkness. We have been transformed into children of light. We are children of the day, not of the night, not of darkness, Paul says in the context. We are united to him by the bond of faith. We live out of him as he lives in us. And the Lord Jesus assures us of the forgiveness of sins, of our adoption as sons and daughters in him. Sanctifies by his good Spirit, he preserves, yea, he glorifies. This is the gracious will of God concerning you and all the saints. Why? Because God has ordained a people filled with his goodness, and that they acknowledge him thankfully in everything. We are saved in Christ in order to give thanks in everything. God says in Isaiah 43, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise." How unspeakably blessed. Yes, sometimes when we compare the blessings we receive in Christ to the hardships, the adversity, the griefs, the sufferings that we might experience, humanly speaking, it would sometimes seem that the adversities come upon us with far greater regularity than the blessings do. But we're mistaken. Those blessings are so rich, so deep, so continual. But in addition, we can see the goodness of God. We can see his goodness in this fact that through Christ Jesus, all the things that we receive, all the things that we experience over the course of our pilgrim journey, everything that happens to us in this life, it all comes forth to us out of the fountain of God's love. Christ's work of salvation for us is of such a nature that it's possible for us to say in 1 Corinthians 3, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Notice that. All things are yours. Even if it be a bed of suffering, even if it be death, all things, including the world and life and death, things present, things to come, no matter whether those things would bring joy or sorrow, all things are ours, and we are Christ's, and Christ is God's. It's an unspeakable comfort. So that we say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." But since our hearts are still very easily discouraged, we are very easily cast down, so that we give way to discontent, impatience. God in his goodness provides a remedy in that too, so that we can give thanks in all things. When we are cast down, when we are laid low, we are raised up again by prayer. In prayer, we cast our cares upon the Lord. Because every day, even every moment, contains many things that would disturb our peace and drive away our joy. We are told here in the context, pray without ceasing. And that leads to thanksgiving. In the Scriptures, thankfulness is shown as an inseparable adjunct to prayer. When one who is in communion with God looks at the events and circumstances of his life, then everything is tinted with glory. In all of his heart communion with God, there will be an acknowledgement and an adoration of God. an acknowledgement that all things are in His fatherly hand, that all things are in the hands of our Almighty, Sovereign God. There will be an adoration of His goodness, of His wisdom, that He knows perfectly, that He knows me perfectly, that He understands what I need perfectly. That wisdom is inscrutable, unsearchable. By that wisdom, He knows how best to bring us unto the perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord. From that viewpoint, we can be thankful in everything. And we are, isn't it so? No, we can never give God the proper due for all the benefits He has bestowed upon us. Unto all eternity in glory, we will give thanks and praise unto Him. But at the same time, giving thanks in everything, for everything, must become with us a habit, a way of life, so that we can say with the psalmist in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The thanking of the Lord in the midst of adversity, and affliction, and sorrow will take different expression than the thanking of God in prosperity and health, because that thanking Him will be manifest more in the way of patience. But we will, by the grace of God, be able to give thanks. And that's why the Lord comes, as He does with this exhortation, in everything, give thanks. In everything, feel grateful. It's a matter of our very being. As I said, it really has the idea of keep on being grateful. Always be giving thanks. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Putting it all together, we see that giving thanks is a joyful, grateful acknowledgement of God's goodness. And it is expressed by a prayerful life of communion with Him. This is not just what we have to be doing, but this is what we must be. That's the word of thanksgiving for us. Are we dealing with affliction? Give thanks. Are we dealing with various hardships and struggles? Give thanks. Scripture says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works glory for us. Do you mourn? Be giving thanks also for that. Is our life difficult? Give thanks. In everything, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. That's the will of God in Christ for you, for in Him, no one, nothing can be against us. Everything you have and are is out of God's gracious will in Christ for you. Nothing comes by chance. All things according to the will of our Heavenly Father. For Jesus' sake, it is all in the infinite wisdom and goodness of God, a means unto our salvation. The psalmist declares he withholdest no good thing from them that walk uprightly. Really, it comes down to this. We have one thing to be thankful for, our salvation in Christ. That one thing is everything. We're thankful for Christ. And as God's children, regardless of our life's situation or circumstances, no matter what the Lord sends us, we may say, yea, we must say, thanks, Lord. Thanks for everything. Thou art good. We don't just say it today, but that's the way we live. A happy people, a joyful people in faith. And in the greatest of these, which is the love of our God, we live new, holy lives of thanksgiving. Yea, thanksgiving in everything. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We need that Word. We are yet so weak and often so worldly minded and so governed in our thinking and in our emotions by outward circumstances. We pray, Father, strengthen our faith. May we see Christ, what Thou hast given us in Him, whereby all things work together for our good. Thanks be unto Thee, Father, for Christ. May Thy name receive the glory, even forever, for Jesus' sake. Amen.